What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the latest edition of the Raw Deal Podcast, the Royal Rumble preview edition of the Raw Deal Podcast. I'm the host, Frank D, but I'm not alone. I got my tag team partner, Mr. Adley Garee.
What's going on, Frank D? I'm happy to be here. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year, if you're a pro wrestling fan, because we are just moments away from the Royal Rumble. I can't wait.
Absolutely. And check out prowrestlingtees.com/Gurick today to get your Gurick.net official merchandise, like the new Raw Deal t-shirt that's up for sale right now. Debit, credit, they ship internationally. They ship domestically. Check it out right now. prowrestlingtees.com/Gurick. Also, youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast. Many interviews up there that we've done in the past with the likes of Too Cold Scorpio, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff. You name it, it's up there. youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast. Like and subscribe. We definitely appreciate that. Also, Adley, why don't you let the listeners have your social media?
You guys can hit me up on Twitter at Adley Green, and also I blog about pro wrestling, movies, MMA, comics at my blog, thegreenscreen.net.
You know, Adley, one of the big stories going on right now in the world of wrestling has to do with TNA Wrestling issuing a statement as it relates to AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and Karl Anderson possibly joining TNA. Now, during the month of December, I guess there have been some negotiations going on with AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, and Karl Anderson about making returns to TNA, and in the case of Anderson, going to TNA for the very first time. But apparently those plans went awry. AJ, Anderson, and Gallows end up signing with WWE. We know AJ is heading into either the Royal Rumble or he will debut with WWE on Monday Night Raw. But nonetheless, these guys are WWE bound. I think TNA is pissed off. TNA being the ex-wife of AJ Styles, pretty much on a business point of view. And they're scorned. And they're really pissed off that they cannot make this deal happen. And I believe you have that statement up right now.
Absolutely. Now, AJ Styles didn't do anything wrong. We want to stress that right now. TNA released this statement on Friday evening in an attempt to drag AJ Styles' name through the mud. And in the end, it only made TNA look really, really bad. Now, the opening paragraph of TNA's statement says, AJ Styles has always been synonymous with TNA, and TNA synonymous with AJ Styles. AJ Styles helped build the foundation of Impact Wrestling, and his phenomenal body of work lives in our rich history, something we're very proud of. Really? You're proud of AJ Styles? AJ Styles is synonymous with TNA? Well, how many times did you give AJ Styles that start and stop push? You know what I mean? I mean, first of all, they pushed him. They're going to push him to a world title. All of a sudden, oh, wait, we brought in Kurt Angle, so never mind. Again, they're going to push him to a world title. Oh, never mind. We brought in Jeff Hardy. They're going to push him to a world title again? Oh, never mind. During their pathetic attempt at the Monday Night War, we're going to have RVD pin him clean in the middle of the ring for the 1-2-3. So everybody agrees that AJ Styles, you know, was the flagship guy of TNA, even though TNA never really had 100% confidence in AJ Styles as the flagship guy. They may have had 90% confidence, but sure as hell, not 100% confidence. So, first of all, that's a bunch of crap right there. Now, you read, you want to see the other parts of the statement, where it says, quote, these discussions culminated on December 14th in Nashville, Tennessee, where all attended a meeting with Dixie Carter at her home. A handshake and written deal between AJ, Drew, and Chad and TNA was agreed upon and signed by all. Start dates were determined, creative was decided, merchandise design, plane tickets purchased. And then over the Christmas holiday, we all lawyers stopped communication. Now, here's the thing. Deal memo. Handshake. Where in this statement does it say that AJ Styles, Doc Gallows, or Karl Anderson signed a contract? It doesn't say it anywhere. You know why? Because they never sign a contract. Actually, AJ Styles' management team also came out and said no contract was ever signed by either party. So pretty much a deal memo was signed, but a contract wasn't signed. And it's funny because this happens all the time. This is not the first time a wrestler has negotiated with TNA, signed a deal memo with TNA, and then at the last minute they decide to go with WWE, New Japan, or somebody else. Frank D, this happens all the time in pro wrestling, in boxing, in UFC, NBA, NFL, baseball, hockey, horseshoes, you name it, happens all the time. But for TNA to release this publicly and also just try to drag his name into the mud is just absolutely pathetic. And on top of that, They also mentioned Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson in there. Doc Gallows, yes, a former TNA employee, but he wasn't really a big deal in TNA, and Carl Anderson has never worked for TNA. So why are you trying to drag their name in the mud as well? So just completely pathetic. And Dave Meltzer actually reported that Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson are under contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling until February. So TNA, on top of trying to drag people's name in the mud, which didn't work, they also admitted to contract tampering. So that's going to be interesting developments as well.
I think it's just completely Bush League for them to even try to pull this at the 11th hour. I mean, AJ Styles is set to really debut at the Royal Rumble or Monday Night Raw. The guy is WWE bound. And they put this bullshit out. I mean, it's just really Bush League to me. It really just looks like, you know, it makes TNA look really butthurt in the situation that a deal couldn't be made. And you're speaking about deal memos and all that stuff. Yeah, dude, as long as these guys never sign a contract that's legally binding, they're free to walk. And Bill Behrens said it right there. Bill Behrens is AJ Styles' manager. He was pissed off for the fact that he was not a part of these negotiations. So that's another problem. He basically kiboshed the whole damn deal. This is the same company that lied years ago and said that Vince Russo wasn't working for the company, and he really was, and this is the reason why they were booted off of Spike TV. So for them to come back and do some underhanded stuff like this, and the fact that they're trying to slander these three guys and trying to ruin their reputations, I think is really, you know, messed up in my opinion, and it really makes, you know, it hard to do business with TNA in the future. You really can't trust them, because if they're able to go to this low to do this type of stuff, what else will TNA do?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a perfect example where Carl Anderson is, again, the guy never really worked for TNA, and all of a sudden they're trying to drag his name in the mud too. So it's a very pathetic attempt to drag these guys' names in the mud, and in the end it just reveals multiple layers of stupidity on TNA's part. And on top of this, Frank D, releasing this statement on Friday night, which with all the rumors going around that AJ Styles is expected to start with WWE either at the Royal Rumble or on Monday Night Raw, just adds more fuel to the fire that AJ Styles is in fact going to start with WWE this week. So not only do you make yourself look stupid, you make yourself look Bush League, you make yourself look very unprofessional, but you also give WWE more publicity, and you give more publicity to three wrestlers that are not even working for your company. So it's like, yeah, how about you try giving more publicity to wrestlers that actually work for your company? How about that, TNA?
Yeah, I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. AJ Styles had a huge fan base over at TNA. So if the TNA fans that miss AJ Styles maybe not watch, you know, maybe they don't watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, maybe they don't watch Ring of Honor. Now you're giving them, hey, AJ Styles is not coming to TNA, but we have an idea where he might be going, so go ahead and check out the Royal Rumble on Sunday. Go ahead and watch Monday Night Raw. So you make a very goddamn good point there about AJ Styles and TNA and how TNA should be focusing on their talent and putting their talent over, but they're worried about the competitions, guys. And it's not even really competition. WWE does not see TNA as competition at all.
Oh, absolutely not. And also, this opens up Pandora's box for other wrestlers who might negotiate with TNA. They see this and go, you know what? They'll do this to AJ Styles. What are they going to do to me? And on top of that, Frank D, this also really shows how ineffective TNA was in promoting AJ Styles for over 10 years. Because remember, when AJ Styles left TNA Wrestling, he negotiated with WWE before he signed with New Japan and signed with Ring of Honor. And WWE reportedly offered him a deal, an NXT contract, for $60,000 a year. And AJ Styles turned it down because he can make more money in the Indies, more money in Ring of Honor, more money in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So what does AJ Styles do? Tears it up in Ring of Honor. Tears it up in New Japan Pro Wrestling for the past 2 years. And he reinvents himself. He changes up his style a little bit. And he completely washes away his TNA colors. And now WWE comes at him with a big money offer to start on the main roster right away, skipping NXT, getting to keep his name, AJ Styles. So TNA is really butthurt over the fact that, you know, New Japan and Ring of Honor did more right by AJ Styles in 2 years than that company could do in 10 years.
Look what happened with RVD. RVD said the same thing. RVD said that WWE got me over more in 30 seconds than TNA ever did. And this also goes back to the whole statement, you know, of, hey, Kurt Angle, Christian, you know, how come you guys don't wrestle anymore? Oh, wrestle for TNA. Oh, well, what's that? It all goes back to that. So AJ Styles made a name for himself, made a bigger name for himself than he ever did in TNA, in my opinion. He changed up his in-ring style and got more popular than he ever was in TNA, became very lucrative to WWE, and now the guy's headed to the main roster, and TNA is upset by that. And on top of that with AJ Styles needed to make this move now. AJ Styles cannot wait a year from now or 2 years from now. He needed to do it now. Now is the time, and I'm glad AJ Styles made that move and made the jump over to the bigger stage of the WWE. Another great thing about this situation right now is the fact that AJ Styles is coming in at a time when WWE has lots and lots of injuries, and imagine some of the matches that they could do with AJ Styles. You can see AJ Styles versus John Cena when Cena comes back. We can see AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. We can see AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins when Seth Rollins comes back. We can see him wrestle Cesaro. I mean, Kevin Owens. I mean, I'm not a big Dean Ambrose fan, but I think that match is actually pretty intriguing. You can do that match as well. I mean, there are so many different things that they can do with AJ Styles on the main roster. I just hope that they don't screw it up, because WWE has a track record of screwing up talents that they didn't produce or that they didn't create. I mean, look at all the guys that came in from WCW. They got buried over the years. And I hope that that doesn't happen to AJ Styles. I'm happy that AJ Styles finally has made that jump. And I can't wait to see if he debuts at the Rumble or Monday Night Raw. Hopefully, WWE has some big plans in store for AJ Styles. WWE actually can do a very, very big thing here with the talents that are coming in. You got Gallows coming in. Anderson coming in as an NXT. You got Nakamura going to be making his debut in NXT very soon. And the fact that Austin Aries has signed with WWE NXT. This is a very big deal right now in WWE land, and hopefully they don't screw it up. But knowing their track record like I do, they might end up screwing the whole damn thing up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that you said it best, Frankie, AJ Styles needed to do this now, because you got to remember, WWE is currently in young guy mode. They are bringing all these guys developmental, unknown guys developmental, in the Performance Center because they want to create, craft, and mold that young superstar that they can push for the next 10 years. And the fact that they're signed AJ Styles, who is 38 years old right now, is going to be 39 in June. And they realize, you know what? Damn his age. The guy can work. He's one of the best wrestlers, maybe the best wrestler in the world today. We got to sign him now. And it's really, you have to commend WWE for having this mindset to sign AJ Styles. And that doesn't mean they would have had this mindset 6 months from now or a year from now. So AJ Styles need to do this right now.
Absolutely. And then look at the other guys that have come in from the outside into WWE. I mean, look at Samoa Joe, for instance, you know. And Samoa Joe is one of the best wrestlers they have on that roster. Is another guy that we never thought we would see at WWE, and then it finally happened. You know, and now we have Austin Aries down there. And we were going to have James Storm, but James Storm decided to go back to TNA because financially it fit better for him. You know, and Abby, I want to get your comments on this right now, because the situation is that WWE is starting to throw big money towards certain talents. I mean, what does that do for TNA? I mean, all of a sudden now TNA is starting to, you know, give out guaranteed money. Perfect timing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, TNA is being very selective with their guaranteed money contracts. I mean, they're not offering it to everybody. They're offering it to a select few because they realize, you know, pay-per-appearance deals is just not going to fit the bill for these wrestlers who are used to guaranteed money and could go to WWE, New Japan, or Ring of Honor at absolutely any time. Plus, there's really not a lot of faith in TNA that they're going to be in business 6 months from now. So they have to start signing contracts. They did it with James Storm. They did it with Mike Bennett. They offered Kurt Angle a guaranteed contract in a non-wrestling capacity, which so it would be a little less money. So they really are being selective with this. And, you know, kudos to them, but I'm happy for those wrestlers that got the guaranteed money, but they're not doing it for everybody, so it's going to really make it difficult for them to book wrestlers long-term. Because you book a wrestler, it happened with Bully Ray. They put him in a pay-per-appearance deal. They put him as the commissioner. All of a sudden, he gets word that, hey, you know, if you want to go back to WWE in 6 months, we need you off TNA TV right now, like yesterday. Bully Ray bounces, and TNA's left with their hands out, so you know, like TNA needs to change something, but ultimately TNA just needs to focus on them. Forget everybody else. Focus on them. Do them.
You know, it's very reminiscent, this situation, very reminiscent of 2011. Do you remember when they had that group in TNA, it was called Immortal, and they were going to bring back the Main Event Mafia was going to come back. It was supposed to be Booker T, Kevin Nash were going to come back. I think they on TV, as a matter of fact, on TNA TV, they had Scott Steiner and Kurt Angle already dressing like the Mafia. So they're going to bring back Booker T and Kevin Nash to complete it, and they were going to go up against Immortal. And at the last minute, WWE signs Kevin Nash and Booker T to the Legends deals. So, same thing. You know, same shit, you know, different day pretty much in this situation with TNA. I mean, they tried to do something, and these guys saw that the grass is green on the other side. And let's just put it like this, too, okay? I'm not knocking TNA. I just think that it was really a bullshit move for them to put out this statement trying to slander AJ Styles and trying to really screw him up before he makes his debut on the bigger stage. AJ Styles deserves to be on the bigger stage of WWE. That's just the bottom line. A guy of his talent, whether you like AJ Styles as a performer or you don't, this guy's been around for a long time. I watched AJ Styles, first time I saw him, he was at WCW. He was tag teaming with Air Paris on freaking Worldwide Wrestling Thunder, okay, and Monday Nitro towards the end. So this guy has been around for a cool minute, the first X Division champion. This guy deserves to be where he's at right now in the business, and I'm happy for AJ Styles that he's finally coming to WWE, and hopefully they don't screw it up.
Well said, my friend, well said.
All right, Adley, so let's transition away from talking about AJ Styles to talking about Josh from Tough Enough. Josh is a $250,000 Tough Enough winner from this past horrible season of Tough Enough. And he said some things on Twitter that kind of pissed off some of the WWE talent, mainly Kevin Owens and Stardust. He called the social outcasts social jobbers. And a lot of people took, you know, exception to the fact that, dude, you haven't even had a match yet, and you're running your mouth. And on top of that, you're making more money than anybody down there in developmental. So why are you even, you know, opening your mouth talking about these guys when, you know, whether they're social outcasts or not, whether they are social jobbers or not, whether they are in a situation where they can't help you because that's what creative has for them, these guys earn their spot, period.
I mean, Josh had a target on his back from the moment he entered the Performance Center because he has a guaranteed one-year contract for $250,000. And there are a lot of guys developmental with bigger name recognition, more talented than him, have paid twice as many more dues than him that are probably making a fraction of what he's getting paid. So he already had heat from day one. And now you're coming out publicly and calling the social outcast, you know, Heath Slater, Curtis Axel, Bo Dallas, you know, you're calling all those dudes jobbers on Twitter. And here's the thing. Yes, they are jobbers, but that is their television character. They're not jobbers in real life. That is just the television character they portrayed. Because in reality, what Josh did was he insulted his professional colleagues that have more seniority, more clout, more stature, paid more dues than he ever has. And plus, the negative connotation of the word jobber, he used it as an indictment of his colleagues' worth and talent. So that is what's drawing him heat. And Frank D, Cody Rhodes said it best on Twitter when he said, "Hey, enjoy dressing in the hallway, dick." That means Josh is banned from the locker room. So Josh did himself no favors whatsoever. And the reason he's getting so much heat because he, again, is an indictment of their skill, an indictment of their talent, an indictment of their worth. But also, this shows that Josh has not learned a crucial, crucial lesson in Pro Wrestling 101, and that is respect. As a young person growing up in this business and somebody breaking in, you are to have respect and esteem and reverence for those who have come before you. And this is a clear indicator that the lesson and the word respect is lost on Josh, and he's going to have a very difficult time navigating the waters of the WWE and NXT locker room.
He's going to have a hard time simply because of what I saw on Breaking Ground. I mean, the guy comes up with his hair looking like it, you know, in that whatever the hell he's got going on there with that damn bun, looking like a female. And then on top of that, the Yeti. When I think of the Yeti, I think of WCW, Halloween Havoc 95, the Yeti coming out there and dry humping Hogan with the Giant. That's what I think of when I think of Yetis. So, I'm not feeling the guy at all. And for him to take a shot, and he hasn't even had a match, and on top of that, he's making more money than any of these guys down there, period, that's a joke to me.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny, because even though this is a, quote, rookie mistake, he's going to learn his lesson very quickly, and then from there on in, hopefully, it will be eyes open, ears open, mouth shut, and he will learn from this. And a lot of people, Frank D, are talking about the fact that he's going to be put in the Royal Rumble and receive a, quote, hazing beating, similar to Daniel Peter. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. The reason I don't think it's going to happen is the two reasons, Frank D. Number one, this Royal Rumble match coming up is not for a world title shot at WrestleMania. It is for the WWE Championship itself. So I don't think they're going to waste a spot in the Royal Rumble to put Josh in there, because if you put tough enough Josh in there, half the people are going to remember him, half the people are going to be like, who's this guy again? And it's going to be like, why would you put this guy in the match? Why would you make this guy's first match an opportunity for the WWE World Heavyweight title? So I think that's the first reason. The second reason is WWE is a publicly traded company. Now, when they hazed Daniel Peter and chopped the shit out of him in the Royal Rumble several years ago, WWE was also a publicly traded company back then. The difference is that over the last 5 years, WWE is actually starting to act like a publicly traded company. And with the concussion lawsuit and them trying to be quiet about injuries, what happens if a wrestler takes it too far and injures inexperienced and green Josh, now Bronson Matthews? They open themselves up for lawsuits up the zigzag. So I don't think they're going to waste time. I think justice will be served in the former wrestler's court, in the performance center, in the locker room, and they'll take care of it from there.
If he makes it to the main roster to begin with. You got to remember something here. Big Andy won Tough Enough years ago when it should have went to Luke Robinson. So if he even makes it to the main roster. But what I read this morning on Gerwig.net is this guy has tremendous heat. He has more heat right now than you and I are even thinking about. He has big time heat right now with a lot of people behind the scenes.
Oh, Frankie, let's forget about the heat. Here's the other thing I want to talk about. With Josh now, Bronson Matthews, this is a one-year contract guaranteed for $250,000. Look at the phrasing, one-year contract. So when that one-year contract is up, and if they decide to even want to re-sign him, I guarantee you they're not going to re-sign him for $250,000. It's going to be a lot less money, and we'll see what happens when that comes out. They say, okay, your contract's up, we want to re-sign you, here's a nice deal for $60,000. We'll see then how much Josh, a.k.a. Bronson Matthews, loves the business. Does he sign a dotted line, or does he just bounce?
And we're going to end it right there on that note, because I couldn't say it better myself.
You're listening to the Raw Deal Podcast with Frank D. and Atlee Green, right here at Gerwig.net.
Gregory Helms, you remember Gregory Helms, Atlee?
The Hurricane coming through.
That's right. That's right. Well, he sent out a tweet to Triple H, and it says, hey, at Triple H, when I was there, I tried to get Austin Aries, AJ Styles, and El Generico hired, but talent relations said no. Just saying.
Oh, absolutely. And the Hurricane has the absolute right to kind of vent this opinion, because guys like Austin Aries, guys like AJ Styles, guys like El Generico, Samoa Joe, you name it, that's been the big question for years. Everybody was wondering, why are these guys toiling away on the indies, toiling away in TNA? Why are they not in the big time? Why are they not with WWE? They're clearly some of the best wrestlers in the world, and they should be in WWE. But the thing is, with guys like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and Austin Aries, there's always been this opinion about those three wrestlers that they're spot guys, that they really don't know how to work. There are some guys in WWE that have always felt that AJ Styles and Samoa Joe are two great workers. And there are also guys in WWE that believe for a very long time that AJ Styles and Samoa Joe can't work. They just do big high-flying spots or stiff kick spots, and that's it. But now, 2016, where WWE is in a situation where they have a lot of injuries, they need new stars, they can't produce a new star worth a damn, and on top of that, that performance center has not produced a new star from the ground up. It's time to, you know what, put our egos aside, put our opinions aside, and start looking at the glass being half full instead of the glass being half empty and go, oh, let's sign Austin Aries, let's sign AJ Styles, let's sign Samoa Joe. These are three really great workers, so opinions change when desperate times arise.
Good to agree with you more. And speaking about opinions of people, let's talk a little bit about Sonny. Sonny has signed a contract with Vivid Video to do a porn film. Now, this is the same woman who was doing Skype sex calls for $100 a pop, I believe. It's the same woman who is selling her WWE Hall of Fame ring, I believe, for what, $150,000 that somebody's buying her ring for. And she's all of a sudden signing this deal. What's your thoughts on this, Abby? I mean, this is a woman who, I think back in the day, people probably would want to see her in a porno movie, but not so much today.
I mean, again, 1994, 1995, I was a big Sunny fan. But now we're talking about it's 2016. She's 43 years old. She's had a lot of personal problems. She drags her own name in the mud. And I just don't think that people are really going to care about something like this. I mean, she did porno pictures before, back in 2003, 2004, with Missy Hyatt and a bunch of other divas or wrestling valets. So it's not the first time she's done something like this. But at the end of the day, you know, Sunny Tammy Sitch, she's simply looking for a payday, and if somebody's willing to offer it to her, you know, I'm sure some fans are going to really dig this, but count me out.
Yeah, count me out too, man. I was never a Sunny fan. I was never into her like a lot of guys were. I was more into, if you believe it, Big Titty Sable. So that's who I was into, and then I got wiser and got older. But nonetheless, you were telling me about a film that's going to be coming out about the life of Chris Candido. Why don't you give the listeners a little insight into that film?
Absolutely. There's a trailer that's hit YouTube that's going to be a documentary covering the life of Chris Candido. There's the standard 2 minute and 30 second trailer, and then there's an extended trailer that lasts about 7 minutes. And it really goes into detail about how passionate Chris Candido was about the wrestling business before he was in the business, and it shows his passion after he was in the business and while he was in the business. And one of the things that really, Frank D, if you watch the trailer, that will tug at anybody's heartstrings is that they go into Chris Candido's old bedroom, and he had this really deep walk-in closet where he used that as his own wrestling cave, and they still had all the pictures up that he cut out from wrestling magazines, where him and his little brother would just, you know, fantasy book and start their own fantasy wrestling and everything like that. So he was a real, real fan growing up, you know, as a kid. And I guess some of the family members of Chris Candido talk about how Tammy Sitch never loved Chris Candido, and Tammy Sitch recently kind of replied to that comment and rebooted it, saying, "I loved Chris Candido." But history, unfortunately, tends to show otherwise, that she didn't really love Chris Candido. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I don't really know. But if you want to get some insight into what kind of person Chris Candido was, definitely check out that trailer. When the documentary comes out, Frank D and I will talk more about it for sure.
I've heard the same thing about her not being in Chris's corner, but you know what? I ain't going to really comment on that because I don't know for sure. But I've heard that, and I heard a lot of it too. When he passed away, the family pretty much had nothing to do with her. I mean, this is a woman, you know, you've heard it from lots of wrestlers in the business that she slept around with this guy, slept around with that guy while she was with Chris. She slept around with a bunch of members from the clique. I mean, remember the whole Sunny Days thing with Bret Hart? I mean, who knows, man? But nonetheless, as far as it goes back to her being in a porn film, I don't really don't give a damn. It was just news that we're commenting on, and that's pretty much it. Moving on here, let's talk about Tyler Breeze and his situation. Tyler Breeze, we brought up on the last edition of The Raw Deal, and we were talking about, you know, how his push pretty much ended out of nowhere. And it's come about, Atlee, that Tyler Breeze might have some heat on him from some people in management due to the fact that he broke one of the cardinal sins in the wrestling business, and that's leaving a show early. Apparently, he left a SmackDown taping early, and this might have caused a rift between him and WWE management.
I mean, you even learned this, you know, as somebody like myself who was, you know, trained wrestling on the independents in the New England area. You're trained and taught from day one that you stay the entire time. You stay from the opening bell to the last bell. You don't leave a show early. And I know that theory, that belief has kind of changed over the years. But somebody in Tyler Breeze's situation where he just made it to the main roster, he's a young guy still trying to make his mark in WWE, you follow all the rules to the T. And when you ask to leave early and you grant the permission to leave early, that's going to put a marker in your back with a lot of the old school guys that feel, what's this guy doing? He should stay from beginning to end. So Tyler Breeze, knowing this, he must have known that he was going to get heat like this, but he probably didn't know that he was going to get heat to the point where his push is going to be dead and buried. So I can't really blame anybody but Tyler Breeze on this. I mean, there's no way you could tell me with a straight face that Tyler Breeze didn't know that leaving a show early, especially somebody with his short stature in WWE, was going to draw the ire of some wrestlers.
Now, I know this might be going on a limb here, but you think that Tyler Breeze might have intentionally did this in order to get demoted back to NXT?
You know, I mean, I would like to say no, but you never really know in this situation. Because you've had a couple of wrestlers that have publicly stated that, you know, I don't want to go to the main roster. I like it here in NXT because even though you're making more money in WWE, you're creatively more satisfied in NXT. The matches are better. You get more room to work. You get more creative stuff to do, so it could be one of those things. I doubt it, though, but at the same time, I mean, Tyler Breeze may have thought, hey, I had permission to leave, because somebody gave him permission to leave. Somebody must have, and then it turned out it was a bad deal, and either he thought it was okay, or somebody just set him up. So either way, he's going to have to eat some crow, he's going to have to eat some shit, but the heat will subside, and then hopefully he gets his push again.
Yeah, what was the old thing that Triple H said? You're going to eat shit and like it, and you're going to eat clumps and clumps and plates of shit?
Well, right now, that's the situation Tyler Breeze faces, and that's also the situation that Bronson Matthews faces. But he's going to be eating a lot more shit than Tyler Breeze ever will.
Yeah, I guess he'll be eating it the same amount of time that Dolph Ziggler's been eating it, too, I guess.
I mean, the way I look at it, you know, Tyler Breeze is going to be eating appetizers of shit where Josh is going to be eating buffets worth of shit.
Exactly. Let's talk about what's going to happen with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32. Now, we know that Fastlane is coming up next month, the pay-per-view that they should not have. But nonetheless, they say they want to make this show big. They want to make this show an A show right before WrestleMania. Now, we talked about last time on the Raw deal about the possibility of Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar. We talked about Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar. It looks like after what happened on Monday Night Raw this past Monday, it looks like we may be going into the direction of Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt. But also, it's being reported, take it with a grain of salt, it's pure speculation, WWE was interested in having Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar. And I think, Adley, that's a clusterfuck waiting to happen.
Yeah, Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar makes me want to puke because the fact of the matter is, you need a credible guy that is going to convince people that, hey, he has a chance of beating Brock Lesnar for the 1-2-3 or making him submit. Braun Strowman is not that guy. Yeah, he's a bigger guy. Yeah, I guess he's bigger than Brock Lesnar. But one of the things about Brock Lesnar matches that you need somebody that can be thrown around quite a bit. You know, take 10, 12, 13, 14 German suplexes. Take a bunch of belly-to-belly suplexes. Get the hell clothesline out of him. And I don't think Braun Strowman fits that category. Plus, I mean, if you put that on the marquee for WrestleMania, Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar, no one's going to buy it. No one's going to look at that and say, oh, I'll buy a ticket for that match. I mean, that may be your bathroom break match at WrestleMania.
And that's exactly what it's going to be. And I don't personally want to see it. I mean, you can utilize Brock Lesnar in so many different ways than that. But once again, like we said last time on the Raw deal, Bray Wyatt needs a big win. I don't think if they have these two guys wrestle at WrestleMania, I don't think that Brock Lesnar is going to do the favors for Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt needs that. He's lost two times at WrestleMania. He needs a big win.
No, I couldn't have said it better myself, Frank D. Bray Wyatt never wins the big one. He wins everything else when it comes to like the big match on the big stage with the bright lights. He always falls short. And WWE needs to be careful with that because you have a guy with Bray Wyatt that can be the future face of fear when the Undertaker finally decides to step away. The fans love him. They cheer him. They do the lights with their cell phone, everything. But if you keep having him lose on the big stage, then guess what? No one's going to believe that he could ever win on the big stage. So you got to be very careful when doing that. And I mean, I don't think it's a case where Brock wouldn't put over Bray Wyatt. I just don't think WWE is going to pull the trigger on that because, as I said last week on the Raw deal, I think WWE is saving a Brock Lesnar loss for one Roman Reigns come SummerSlam.
You're listening to the Raw Deal Podcast with Frank D. and Atlee Green right here at Gerwick.net.
The Royal Rumble. Let's talk about that.
Want that old school music back. The way you just said the Royal Rumble, I'm expecting to hear that old school music with the bells, the dings, and everything.
Exactly, dude. That, you know what I'm saying? Classic Vince McMahon. You know, it's time to rumble. You know, and that music playing, yeah, that was a shit. I was just watching that on the network every day. But nonetheless, we're talking about the 2016 version of the WWE Royal Rumble this Sunday night. And it's going to be, you know, everybody versus Roman Reigns, pretty much. Roman Reigns defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the Royal Rumble match. Atlee, where are we going with this, my man?
It's quite the story, because WWE has put Roman Reigns in the situation where he's going to be defending his WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the Royal Rumble match itself. Now, as of right now, there are officially 16 people in the Royal Rumble, including Roman Reigns, so then you got Big Show, Curtis Axel, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, Ryback, Dolph Ziggler, Chris Jericho, Brock Lesnar, Stardust, Sheamus, Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Woods. There are also two spots reserved for the winner of the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match that's going to happen at the kickoff show for the Royal Rumble, where four teams are going to be in the match, and the winning team will get spots in the Royal Rumble. And the four teams are the odd pairing of Damian Sandow and Darren Young. You also have Mark Henry and Jack Swagger. You have The Ascension, Connor and Victor, and the Dudley Boys. So two of these eight men are going to have a spot in the Royal Rumble. So I actually like the fact that they're putting a match on the kickoff show that somewhat matters.
My question is this. You're talking here about the tag teams, you know, having this match on the kickoff show. Why the hell is Darren Young teaming with Sandow?
Oh, it's an odd couple for sure. I mean, I think they're just really trying to separate Darren Young and Titus O'Neil as much as possible, because Titus O'Neil is getting a lot of positive publicity for WWE. Darren Young, I'm not going to go into that. You know, that's a whole other topic for another show. But I just think that it's just a placeholder. That's all it is. It's a placeholder. Then you got the Dudley Boys, who, you know, when you look at this, are probably odds-on favorites to win the match, because you come up with the fantasy idea of, oh, maybe Bubba Ray will finally turn on D-Von, throw him out of the Royal Rumble, turn heel, and we get Bully Ray. That's probably wishful thinking. Then you got the Ascension, where it really doesn't matter. Then you got Mark Henry and Jack Swagger, where these are two former World Heavyweight Champions, and they already mentioned on Raw how this Royal Rumble could be Mark Henry's last Rumble event. So it looks like he might be retiring pretty soon. So that's already a kind of a story that WWE has started, and they may want to have those two win just for the emotional effect of, hey, this might be Mark Henry's last Royal Rumble.
I mean, yeah, I'd have no problem with that, but why not have the Dudley Boys in the match to begin with?
I think the Dudley Boys bring more to the match, because if Mark Henry, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, beep, Jack Swagger runs out, people will be sitting on their hands. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, beep. Mark Henry, he'll get an okay pop, but nothing special. Then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, beep, D-Von, and then Bubba Ray comes out. They're going to get a much bigger pop. They're going to add much more excitement to the match, so I say you go with them, but you never know what WWE is thinking.
So we talked about the kickoff show, Adley, for the Royal Rumble match. Let's talk about the actual matches that's going to be taking place on the show. And I believe we have the WWE Tag Team Championship match, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. The New Day will be defending the WWE Tag Team Championship against the Usos. And the way I'm looking at this is, I think the New Day right now is a more popular act than the Usos, so I expect them to retain the Tag Team titles at the Rumble.
Yeah, I'm looking for the Usos to actually take the championships here. I am quite frankly sick and tired of seeing this feud, to be honest with you. And I think that they're going to want to put the belts on the Usos now. And then I think later on we'll have the New Day probably get them back at Fastlane or WrestleMania. That's what I think is going to happen.
I mean, you never know. I mean, the way the New Day really don't need the Tag Team Championship, but at the same time, I don't think the Tag Team titles will really do anything for the Usos at this point. But you never know. The next match on the card will be for the Divas Championship, as Charlotte, with her father Ric Flair in her corner, will be defending the Divas Championship against Becky Lynch. Now, I actually like this feud, and I think Becky Lynch has been cutting some really good promos as of late. And I loved on Raw, it was one of the very bright spots on Raw, where Becky Lynch conned Ric Flair into making the match for the Rumble for the Divas Championship. I loved that. I thought it came out very well. It just goes to show you the talent of Becky Lynch, because when the whole Divas Revolution kicked off and they brought out Sasha Banks, they brought out Charlotte, they brought out Becky Lynch, it looked as if Becky Lynch was going to be lost in the shuffle, but clearly, she's starting to make a mark of her own, and I think she's going to go over and win the Divas Championship this Sunday.
I got to think they're going to keep the belt on Charlotte. I think they've invested Charlotte as the heel, and I think moving forward, we'll probably see the return of Sasha Banks, and we're going to see Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, maybe Sasha being in the babyface role, but right now, I think they have a lot more invested in Charlotte than they do Becky Lynch, so I think Becky Lynch is going to do the favor. And I think that Charlotte is going to walk out and retain the WWE Divas Championship.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if Charlotte retained the championship, because she was a so-so babyface at best, but she is turning into a tremendous heel. And I loved her facial reaction when she was acting all cocky, and then all of a sudden Ric Flair goes, "You want another shot at my daughter? You got it." And she went from cocky to, "What the hell just happened?" It was great. And they're really running out of credible baby faces to put her up against after Becky Lynch. So I think, as you said, if Sasha Banks is ready to go, give the fans what they want, turn her baby face, and let those two go at it at WrestleMania.
I would be open to that. I really would be. I think that you got to put Sasha on that level, man. It's like, you know, listen, I'm a Sasha Banks fan. That's just the bottom line. I'm a Sasha Banks mark. I think that she's, you know, great at what she does. You know, just like some people out there think that Nikki Bella is great at what she does. We can agree to disagree, you know what I mean?
No, I feel it, but moving on to the co-main event of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, if you will, is a last-man-standing match for the Intercontinental Championship, where Dean Ambrose will be defending the championship against Kevin Owens. And last-man-standing matches are usually pretty good on pay-per-view, and or now the WWE Network, so I expect this match to get some time, and I expect these two to really throw everything at each other, including the kitchen sink, to put on one entertaining match.
I'm looking here at this match with Dean Ambrose retaining the belt. I can't see them putting the belt right back on Kevin Owens when they just took it off of Kevin Owens. So I'm looking for Dean Ambrose to retain. And I think they're going to have a knockout, dragout, you know, bout here.
Oh, I completely agree. I think it's going to be wild. I think it's going to be crazy. They're going to brawl all over the building. But I'm thinking Kevin Owens is going to win the Intercontinental Championship simply because they need heels. WWE needs heels desperately. And while they have a lot of heels on the roster, they have very few heels that people actually care about. So I think Kevin Owens beating Dean Ambrose, who's actually over with the audience, could go a long way in getting people to care about Kevin Owens as a legitimate top heel. One of the matches that we are going to talk...
Hold on one second. Let me cut you off real quick. Because when it comes to the Intercontinental Championship, and just like what we talked about last week on the Raw deal, there's always that rumor that Chris Jericho is going to turn heel, and he's supposed to feud with Dean Ambrose over the IC belt. So that's the reason why I'm thinking that they're going to keep the belt on Dean Ambrose, and very shortly, we're going to see a heel turn from Chris Jericho. But I'm going to be honest with you, like I said in the last Raw deal episode, I'm not a Chris Jericho fan. I think Jericho is pretty much overrated and just a company guy at this point, and I'm just not feeling it. So, I mean, I would like to see Kevin Owens win the championship, but once again, we would be playing hot potato with the belt. And I think that right now, the best bet is to keep it on Ambrose and continue to build the prestige to the Intercontinental Championship. And eventually, if Roman Reigns is a champion and you really want to do something creative, WWE, you really want to make the Intercontinental Championship mean something, you put the Intercontinental Champion up against the WWE Champion, and let's get that shit cracking.
You know, Frank D, I think you might have made me change my mind. And the reason I'm going to say this is because as internet wrestling fans, diehard wrestling fans, whatever you want to call us, we're so focused on this concept of WWE has to make this guy, WWE has to make that guy, they need better heels, they need better babyfaces, all this other stuff. But at the same time, can you really make an effective babyface, or an effective heel for that matter, heel being the term here, between now and WrestleMania? Could you really push Kevin Owens between now and Mania where people are actually care about him to the level where you could put him in a marquee match? I don't think so. So I think your Chris Jericho, Dean Ambrose idea would work really well, because Jericho, you know, we've talked about what we think of Chris Jericho's run currently, but he's over with the majority of the audience. I think a heel turn with him will pay big dividends, and Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho on a marquee is probably going to be one of the big matches at WrestleMania if this all comes to fruition.
I think it would be, and then on top of that, why not have a guy like Sami Zayn, who just came back from injury, why not have him wrestle Kevin Owens on the bigger stage?
You know what's funny, Frank D? I was actually thinking about that. I watched Sami Zayn return to NXT recently, where he beat Ty Dillinger, and I think the aura around this character right now is that he has some unfinished business, because the last time you saw him in the NXT ring, he was being taken out by Kevin Owens. He got Papa Powerbombed on the apron. They took him out on the stretcher. And then you hadn't seen Sami Zayn in NXT again until he made his return. But by the time he came back to the active roster in NXT, Kevin Owens is now on the WWE roster. So I think if you push Sami Zayn in NXT and push him toward the championship or put the championship on him, there's always going to be that kind of a feeling that he's a lame duck champion and he has some unfinished business to settle with Kevin Owens. And I think that would be a great storyline to tap into if they go that way.
I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. Why not let these guys showcase themselves on the bigger stage? That's all it's about. You know, I mean, as much as we love NXT and all that, I mean, it don't get no bigger than WrestleMania in the wrestling business, and that's just pretty much what it is.
And speaking of, you know, no bigger than WrestleMania, WrestleMania is going to be in the AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, and a lot of Lucha Libre fans in Dallas, Texas, and of course, Lucha Libre, the U.S. title match at the Royal Rumble coming up is going to be Alberto Del Rio defending against Kalisto. Now, they've traded the belts back and forth. Kalisto won the belts on Raw, and then Alberto Del Rio got it back on SmackDown. They kind of beat Kalisto on Raw, so I'm not really sure what they're doing here, but is this the case where Del Rio retains the championship, or do they decide to make Kalisto?
That's hard, man, because they gave the guy the belt on Raw. Everybody was going crazy about it. Kalisto was trending on Twitter, and the next day at the SmackDown tapings, they took the belt off of him. So, I mean, this is a third match, a rubber match. I mean, what good would it be to put the belt right back with Kalisto when you just took it off? This is, once again, playing hot potato with the belt.
I mean, when you look at the creative situation, Del Rio was scheduled to feud with John Cena, and now John Cena is injured. He's out of the equation, so it's like, what else do you do? Plus, they paid Del Rio some big money to come back to WWE, so they want to capitalize on this newfound investment as much as possible. So I'm not sure if they are comfortable with the idea of making Kalisto at Alberto Del Rio's expense. I think that's the line of thinking, so I'm really not sure what's going to happen here, but I think at a time where you need some new blood, you need some new superstars, people like Kalisto, it's an easy fix. Put the belt on him, give him a little bit of a run, make him a great underdog champion. I think the story writes itself, but I'm going with Del Rio to retain the U.S. title come this Sunday.
I'm going on a whim here, and I'm going to pick Kalisto to get the belt, even though I think they're going to keep it on Del Rio. I'm going to go with Kalisto. It'll be something, like I said, something new. I mean, they took the belt off the guy before we actually could see what he could do with it. And that's the problem. If that had been a situation where they had Kalisto win the championship, hold on to it until the Royal Rumble, then drop it to Del Rio, that's a different story. But the fact that they had him drop the belt at SmackDown the next day, that's where the bullshit comes into play. But I'm going to go with Kalisto.
He had no time to shine as champion. And if they decide to put the belt on him this Sunday, I hope they give him time to shine, because I think they'll see they have something special in him. Now we're going on to the 30-man over-the-top rope Royal Rumble match itself. As we talked about earlier, Roman Reigns is defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Brock Lesnar is in the match. You got a few other superstars. But there are also some spots in the Royal Rumble that have not been filled as of yet. So do we get some surprises? Do a couple of members from the New Japan 4 show up? A lot of theories going on. Frank D, what are your thoughts?
Okay, well, number one, I think we might get some legends in that match. I think that we might see maybe a Kevin Nash in that match. He lives in Florida, so why not? I think we might see, and I'm going on a limb here, but I think we might see the return of Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble this Sunday. I think he'll be returning. I think he'll be in that match.
That's a great point you bring up, Frank D, because one thing that we didn't talk about yet was that Daniel Bryan was cleared to wrestle by a doctor at UCLA. So this means Daniel Bryan has been cleared by two highly accredited and highly credentialed doctors, while the WWE doctor, Joseph Maroon, has not cleared Daniel Bryan to return. So this could be a good sign that Daniel Bryan shows up in the Royal Rumble, because as of right now, there are 12 unfilled spots in the Royal Rumble, and Daniel Bryan would be one hell of a surprise. Plus, the Royal Rumble takes place in Orlando, Florida. What else is in Orlando, Florida? The Performance Center, NXT, so we could get a few NXT surprises as well.
Right, I mean, but here's the thing, you know, and I know we're going towards AJ Styles here.
Yes.
And the thing about AJ Styles that's very risky with this Royal Rumble match is they're making a huge deal about AJ Styles. They're building them up and building them up. Okay, now what happens if AJ Styles debuts at the Rumble and gets thrown out like some jabron? You just killed any momentum you had with Styles. So if I was WWE, I wouldn't even have Styles debut at the Rumble. I would keep Styles up until Monday Night Raw the next night. That's what I would do.
You know, as much as it pains me to say this, I think that the right call is to have him debut on Monday Night Raw, because, again, him debuting in the Royal Rumble would be a tremendous, tremendous debut. It really would be. But at the same time, you know, he's probably not going to win the Royal Rumble since they're not going to, because we know they're not going to put the championship on him his first night in the company. So the question is, how do you eliminate AJ Styles in a manner where he doesn't look like a jabroni? The problem with WWE booking is I could see a scenario where they don't even think about that. They just go, hey, you know what? It's such a big honor to be in the Royal Rumble on your very first night. It doesn't matter how you get tossed out. But the problem is, if Suplex City is going on and Brock throws out AJ Styles like he's just another guy, then, yeah, you really kind of took away his special aura by day one. So as cool as it would be to see him in the Rumble doing his thing and hitting a few Styles clashes, I think Monday Night Raw is the place to be for AJ Styles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with my original plan here is that somehow Triple H interferes in this situation. I think Triple H is going to be the last guy in there with Roman Reigns. And I'm also thinking that, you know, if we do see AJ Styles, might be, you know, maybe aligned with the Balor Club. I'm not sure. I mean, but I actually have to say that I'm actually intrigued this year about the Royal Rumble, and I have not felt that way in the past 2 years.
No, I'm with you, because this championship stipulation really changed the complexity of this entire event. But another theory I want to throw out to you, Frank D, and see what your thoughts are, is does WWE is clearly focused on telling a specific story. The odds are completely against Roman Reigns, and he has this beast incarnate in Brock Lesnar waiting in the wings. Plus, you have the Wyatt family kind of being a force of nature as far as we're concerned. And then you have the underlying threat of Triple H possibly interfering, or Vince McMahon possibly interfering. So that's the story they're trying to tell. But with all that going on, do they throw a curveball at us and possibly give us a surprise? Do they give us something that we didn't expect? Because in the 2012 Royal Rumble, Sheamus won the event, and I don't think anybody expected Sheamus was going to win that match, and he did. So do they do a similar thing where they put the belt on somebody we didn't expect, like a Ryback, like a Dolph Ziggler? I don't think they're going to, but what do you think of that prospect?
The problem with that prospect is this. You would then undo the work that it took a month to get Roman Reigns over by taking the belt off him. It with all the, you know, with everything against him right now, the way that Roman Reigns would get over even more with the fan base is simply by him defeating those odds. But I also will say this. I'm still sticking with it, that if they turn Roman Reigns heel and align him with the Authority or some shit like that, that would pay off in the long run. But I don't think right now that's the plan, because the whole Triple H, you know, underlining right there. So I think that at WrestleMania, we're going to see Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the belt. I don't think that they're going to be stupid enough to take the belt off of Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, but this is WWE.
I mean, I'm really having a hard time calling this one because they could do the deal where Roman Reigns, you know, he finally got the championship. He's had a month and a half to defend it, and then boom, he gets screwed in the ultimate circumstance. Because if he wins, it makes him more of a badass. If he loses, it's kind of like, well, what do you expect? He had the McMahons against him, he had the Authority against him, and he had to deal with 29 other wrestlers. So it really doesn't make him look like a jabroni if he loses in this situation. But at the same time, with John Cena being out and needing a top babyface, I think Roman Reigns, you know, is definitely the way they're going. But also, you know, baby faces usually tell better stories when they're chasing the belt, not necessarily defending the belt. So they may be thinking along those lines where we take the belt off of Roman, then he chases it between now and WrestleMania, gets it back, everybody goes home happy. Another thing I want to talk about, Frank, is, you know, when it comes to surprises, legends, and everybody else, you know, appearing in the Royal Rumble, I don't know if Daniel Bryan's going to appear in the Royal Rumble. I don't know if AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, Nakamura, or Doc Gallows are going to appear in the Royal Rumble. And this is just speculation. I have nothing to base this on whatsoever, but I can feel it in my bones, Frank D. I just feel it. I truly believe that The Undertaker is going to be a surprise entrant and turn the Royal Rumble upside down. I don't think he's going to win it, but I think he is going to be in the match, and then whatever happens is going to set up who he's working with come WrestleMania.
I mean, it very well could be. It very well could be, you know, going that way. But who's to say? I mean, what would happen if Taker actually did win and won the WWE Championship on one, you know, last hurrah and, you know, main event at Mania in Texas, his home state?
That would be interesting because you have a situation where you could put Roman Reigns over as the guy, because remember, all the reports said that John Cena versus Roman Reigns was the penciled in main event for WrestleMania. You're going to do a passing of the torch type deal where Cena finally passed the torch to Roman Reigns as the guy, kind of similar to WrestleMania 6 where Hogan passed the torch to the Ultimate Warrior. Now they're in a situation where they can do that again, this time with The Undertaker passing the torch instead of John Cena. But the question is, can you get that Dallas hometown crowd to boo their man, The Undertaker? I don't think so.
Nah, I don't think you can. But, I mean, a Roman Reigns-Undertaker match is kind of interesting. I will say that.
Oh, I would be very intrigued. I mean, I would be very excited if it turned out Taker versus Roman Reigns is the main event for WrestleMania. And you can even tie that into the feud between Roman Reigns and Triple H, because if Roman Reigns goes over and pins the dead man, he kind of rubbing it in Triple H's face saying, you know, I did the one thing that you couldn't do. But as far as predictions for the Rumble, I'm going with Roman Reigns predicted winning the Royal Rumble and retaining the WWE Championship. And because I think what the storyline is going to go is, I think the Authority is going to kind of try to screw Roman Reigns over, and then he gets the upper hand, he somehow fights back, wins the match, and then just pisses the Authority off to no end. And then Monday night, the next night on Raw, that's when Triple H returns. That's when Triple H hits him with that thing that Vince McMahon says that Roman Reigns will never see coming.
I'm going to go with Triple H. I'm going to go with Triple H winning it all at the Royal Rumble. We haven't seen Triple H on WWE TV since TLC. Can't really count NXT, but, you know, I'm talking about the main roster shows. We have not seen him since TLC when he got his ass beat. So I'm going to go with Triple H to show up at the Royal Rumble, and either he wins the Royal Rumble and wins the championship, or he's there to introduce some new talent that's going to be his enforcers, pretty much.
That would be awesome, because one thing the Authority needs, it needs an enforcer, it needs a guy that they're behind, and I think Bullet Club, Battle Club, whatever you want to call it, would be the way to go.
Right.
Now, Frank D., I also want to read a couple of questions that some of our faithful listeners posted on our Facebook page.
Okay.
I want to go over some questions. One of the questions that one of our listeners asked was, what do we think about the AJ Styles situation? That was by Josh D'Oneo. So we already talked about the AJ Styles at the top of the show. So, Josh, thank you very much for asking this question. Also, how to pronounce his first name, Frank? Efren?
There you go.
Efren Guzman posted a question to us he wanted to ask, and he asked, should NXT do an invasion angle again? And by again, I think he means, you know, Nexus kind of had the NXT affiliation. Should NXT do an invasion angle again? You know, as much as I would love to see an invasion angle, I don't want to see it because, quite frankly, WWE doesn't know how to do an invasion angle.
No, I don't want to see that either. I mean, you know, it was cool when Nexus came through, but we all saw what happened with that debacle. And that was probably the last big invasion angle that they ever did. So I'm not really feeling seeing an invasion angle. The only way that that would work is that you would have maybe the Balor Club or something like that come in and kind of do maybe like an NWO type of group where they're, you know, anti-authority, anti-WWE, anti-heels, anti-babyface, something like that. I think that would be kind of more interesting because, you know, wrestling fans have always wanted to see another version of the NWO. And I think they could probably do that with the Balor Club.
Oh, exactly, because when you look at an NWO anti-authority type angle, I think that's the way to go. I think that's something WWE can do very effectively, especially with the talent that they've recently procured and the talent they have at NXT, for example, Finn Balor. But when it comes to an actually invasion angle, the problem with that is WWE has to actually put their ego in check and look down from their pedestal and bring the promotion they're feuding with up to their same level. Because if you're feuding with a lesser entity, no one's going to be interested in WWE, this powerhouse WWE promotion versus little NXT or little, you know, WCW or whatever it was. WWE has to go and admit and say, yes, you know, this promotion we're feuding with is just as good as us, and this might not end well for us. And they are incapable of doing that. And I think an NXT invasion angle will only will be a disservice to NXT in the long run. So just leave NXT alone. Don't just let it do its thing. Keep it 1 hour, and I think we'll all be better off.
I totally agree with that.
And the third question is from an ECW original and fan of the Raw deal, Big Vito LaGrasso. Big Vito LaGrasso asked us to comment on the concussion lawsuit, and I'll read his question to us. First of all, Big Vito, thank you very much for giving us a shout-out and listening to the Raw deal. Big Vito asks, when will WWE settle the concussion lawsuit? Plus, the only way Dan O'Brien wrestles is when the lawsuit is settled. While it is open, he will sit. So I think that's a very good insight for Vito LaGrasso because, and we talked about the concussion lawsuit last week on the Raw deal, and on top of that, we also talked about how Daniel Bryan's been cleared by two doctors, but not been cleared by WWE's doctor. So do they really want to risk Daniel Bryan getting hurt while Big Vito and Evan Singleton and other wrestlers are suing WWE for the same thing that Daniel Bryan suffered from at one point?
Yeah, man, I don't know. It's just very interesting, you know, when you put it into perspective, this lawsuit, and then Daniel Bryan got hurt, and all of a sudden he's cleared by two doctors, but he can't get cleared by the WWE doctor, which is the voice that's going to be like, okay, this guy actually can go out there and perform. So I think Vito has a point there. But once again, like we said on the last edition of the Raw deal, it all goes back to how this case is going to flow if WWE can prove that they're not negligent. And, you know, I don't know when the concussion lawsuit is going to be settled. I really honestly can't believe it's actually moving as far as it is. Simply because, like I said in the last edition of the Raw deal, I mean, Vito didn't spend that long in WWE. He spent a majority of his time in ECW, WCW. So for it to be going where it's going in the discovery phase of it, I mean, who knows? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's just like the whole situation right now with, you know, rapper Bobby Shmurda. We don't know.
We don't know. It's definitely it's definitely an odd and tough situation that WWE finds itself in. Hopefully it can be all worked out, but if WWE is erring on the side of caution, I don't think we see Daniel Bryan make a surprise appearance at the Royal Rumble, or anytime soon for that matter.
All right, so if you have any questions for the Raw Deal Podcast, hit us up at GerwickReport@gmail.com. That's GerwickReport@gmail.com. And we got a question here from a guy named Craig from Dallas, Texas. He wants to know, what's the worst moment in WCW history? Something that we saw that we were like, whoa, can't believe they did it.
That moment for me is the 2000 pay-per-view, New Blood Rising. It took place in Canada in August of 2000. That is when WCW decided to do the whole wrestling is fake, but now it's real. And what I mean by that is, when they did the triple threat match, Scott Steiner, Kevin Nash, Goldberg. Goldberg showed up late to the match. Kevin Nash brought the powerbomb to Goldberg. All of a sudden, Goldberg powers out of it. And then the commentators go, oh my goodness, I can't believe what just happened. And you're like, what just happened? That Tony Schiavone says, I think Goldberg was supposed to go up for the powerbomb and he didn't want to. And of course, Vince Russo comes out, yells at him. Goldberg says, fudge you. And he literally said, fudge you. I'm not just trying to be politically correct. And then he walked off. And of course, Scott Steiner takes the powerbomb. 1, 2, 3. And then Tony Schiavone goes, see, that's how you do business, Goldberg. That's what you should do. Go out for the powerbomb. Which led to the next night on Nitro, where Vince Russo cut a scathing promo burying Goldberg, and he said the words, Bill Goldberg believes that if pro wrestling was real, he could kick anybody's ass. Well, guess what? He's not going to kick this guy's ass, as he points to Tank Abbott. So he's trying to say, you know what? Forget the scripted shit. We're going to see a real fight take place. And then, of course, we go to commercial. We come back. The camera's on the commentators. They won't show the real fight that's going on. And Russo demands that the production truck shows the real fight between Goldberg and Tank Abbott. They finally cut to the two, and guess what you see? You see Goldberg giving Tank Abbott an Irish whip into the guardrail. It's like, yeah, this looks real. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll watch Raw.
My moment's a little bit different. I actually thought about this. I was going to pick the Yeti from WCW, that Halloween Havoc 95 I was talking about earlier about.
Josh?
Josh, yeah, but you know he wasn't around. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing I ever saw in WCW had to have been that damn pinata on a pole match. That right there was just stupid. That, I mean, dumb. That was the stupidest thing that I ever saw in WCW. And WCW did a lot of stupid shit. That was stupid right there. And that just was not entertaining at all. I didn't like it. And if I could point to some more things in WCW that I didn't really care for, I go back to April 98, the night after Spring and Stampede, when Hogan won the championship from Macho Man 24 hours after he won it. And then I point back to 1999, when Macho Man was the world champion, won the belt, I believe at Bash at the Beach that year, and then Hogan comes out there and beats him again 24 hours after he won it. So those are some things in WCW that I did not really care for.
Another thing I certainly didn't care for in WCW, and I actually remember a lot of people back in the day didn't like this. A lot of older people didn't like this as I was talking to them, and they really thought it was in bad taste, was the episode of Nitro that took place on December 14th, 1998. It was shortly before Starrcade 98, where Ric Flair had what appeared to be a heart attack in the middle of the ring while cutting a promo. And WCW got a lot of backlash for that, not just because it was Ric Flair that you were putting in this situation, but also because I think making somebody have a heart attack on a pro wrestling show hits a little too close to home, because a lot of people have had, you know, family and otherwise that have suffered from, you know, such a tragic thing as a heart attack. And pro wrestling is supposed to be an escape from the real world, and you brought people back to reality with that. So they changed the angle a week later to, it turned out, Eric Bischoff poisoned Ric Flair as opposed to having a heart attack. But I just thought it was just a stupid thing, low class, and it made a lot of people uncomfortable.
Right. I thought it was real, Abby. I thought what I was watching on TV was real, and then they kind of played it like Eric Bischoff had something to do with it. Like, it was kind of like some foul play shit going on there in the storyline. So that was stupid. I didn't really care for that either. I thought it was dumb. But any other time when Ric Flair was out there acting a damn fool and you know, elbow dropping the ring and shit, that was cool.
Oh, no complaints from me.
And I'm not even a Ric Flair fan like that. And I think that was actually pretty good shit. So those were our questions that we had this week here on the Raw Deal Podcast. Once again, if you have any questions for me or Adley Green, hit us up at GerwickReport@gmail.com. Once again, GerwickReport@gmail.com. All right, so this is specific to TV Tracks. Hopefully TV Tracks keeps this in. The other day I was on TV Tracks' channel and I was, you know, looking at the comments on the Samoa Joe video and on the Cruiserweight video. And I actually had a lot of interaction with some cool dudes on there. A lot of people were talking shit or whatever, but until they interacted with me, they kind of chilled a little bit. So here's the deal. This is a little bit of what I want to do. And hopefully Tracks, you know, puts this on his channel, because this is about his listeners. Raw Deal listeners on TV Tracks. Me and Abby Green were thinking about having some of you come on this show. You know, a lot of times, me and Atlee might not get it right. We have our opinions like you have your opinion. So here's the deal. If you would like to come on the Raw Deal Podcast and talk about professional wrestling with Atlee Green and myself, shoot the shit, debate us, whatever, now is the opportunity to do that. You can leave your contact information in the comments below. Just leave your email address, whatever, and I'll hit you up. And we can set up a time that works for you. And we can get you on the show. And we can all talk and shoot the shit about wrestling. You can also hit us up at GerwickReport@gmail.com. That's GerwickReport@gmail.com. And let's be more interactive. I actually enjoyed doing that. And I think that it would actually be a good deal for a lot of listeners out there who might perceive us a certain way. You come on here and see, hey, you know what? We're actually cool dudes. So if you would like to be a part of this, hit us up in the comment section below on this video on TV Tracks, and we'll go from there.
I like this idea, Frank D, quite a bit, because fan interaction is only going to make our podcast even better. I think it's going to make it more enjoyable for the listeners as well. And on top of that, I just want to stress, we're not doing this simply to make fun of wrestling fans. We're simply not doing this to bury anybody that may disagree with us. Frank D and I truly 100% appreciate every single person that supports and listens to the Raw Deal podcast here at Gerwick.net. And fan interaction is something that Frank D and I are big proponents of. So please hit us up. And hopefully we can have a discourse about professional wrestling.
Absolutely. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Raw Deal Podcast right here on this Royal Rumble weekend. We hope you have enjoyed the show. Once again, Atlee, let them know your social media.
My social media is at Atlee Green on Twitter. You can also hit me up on my blog at thegreenscreen.net. And also, if you like movies, at forcesofgeek.com. My column was just published about the upcoming Batman vs. Superman movie, so please check that out.
Absolutely. And don't forget to check out youtube.com/GerwickReportPodcast, the official YouTube channel of Gerwick.net. Tons of interviews up there. Like and subscribe. We definitely appreciate that. Also, check out prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick today and maybe buy a shirt. We would definitely appreciate your support. And on that note, we're going to step out here on the Raw Deal Podcast. Myself and Abby Green will be back up here in the coming week to talk about the Royal Rumble Fallout and Monday Night Raw. So we will check you all later. Take it easy.